CBS News. Conjecture grows in Washington as to who President Ford will name to investigate the CIA investigators. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. There's been no indication from the White House as to which citizens will be named to a high-level commission charged with determining whether the CIA has exceeded its statutory authority. In announcing late Saturday afternoon that Mr. Ford would create such a citizens' commission, News Secretary Ron Nessen explained it will be comprised of distinguished Americans, but not active or former members of Congress, or anyone having any connection with the American intelligence activities. Mr. Ford wants the investigation completed by March 4th. Capitol observers say that means he'll need men who can free themselves totally for 2 months to do the job, a bipartisan group, eligible for top security clearance, and capable of quickly penetrating the involved smokescreens of the intelligence community. The Justice Department, it was revealed today, has begun its own CIA investigation. It apparently focuses on possible criminal violations by agency officials. Senator Howard Baker, the Tennessee Republican, is calling for a new congressional committee investigation of CIA involvement in Watergate. He explained what would be set up under legislation he and 37 co-sponsors are proposing.
A joint committee made up of members from both the House and Senate, which would have oversight responsibility for all of the intelligence functions of the government, not just the CIA, but every other agency that conducts intelligence operations, and there are several.
Senator Baker believes there's room in the investigation for both a citizens' commission and a congressional joint committee.
I assume that both panels will be eminently fair and that nobody's trying to hurt or destroy the intelligence community of the United States. We're simply trying to find out what went on. It very well may be that it even appears more serious now than it really is, but you see, it's just as important to investigate it as it is to wonder about it.
Republican Senator Howard Baker of Tennessee. CBS News continues following this message.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off, the sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And Sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use Sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
President Ford spent much of the day poring over the last of some 150 bills he received from the last Congress. Of those signed Saturday, perhaps the most important, pumped some $4.5 billion into the fight against recession. It's an urgent supplemental appropriation bill funding expanded unemployment and job benefits. Meeting with his domestic counsel and economic advisors, the president was reported to have narrowed his options for a game plan to deal with the economy and energy. Specifics will be announced later this month in the State of the Union address. The Saigon Command says it still has radio contact with the command bunker in Phuc Binh City, so a government spokesman reasons the city has not fallen to communist attackers. But senior government military officers concede the situation is desperate and that they may order their remaining forces to surrender. The communists claim to have captured the city more than 18 hours ago. A slowdown strike by 12,000 British doctors has spread to Northern Ireland. The physicians have begun a work-to-contract movement, working only the 30 hours called for in their agreement with National Health Hospitals. The unprecedented move followed a deadlock in negotiations for a new pay scale. At Monroe, Michigan, evacuees have returned to their homes near a huge propane tank, which Saturday afternoon sprung a leak. 12 families were moved out when some 12,000 gallons an hour of the highly explosive gas began spewing into the air. Workers managed to cap the leak. More news in a moment.
Hey, Dad?
Yeah?
How come you smoke?
Oh, I smoke because I enjoy it.
And does it make you feel any better?
No, not really.
Then how come you do it?
Well, let's just say it helps me relax.
Relax?
Yeah, relax. Helps me relax, right.
Then if it helps you relax, how come you're so uptight?
I am uptight because you keep asking me questions I can't answer.
I only asked you why you smoke.
Well, then ask me something simple, like where you came from.
I already know where I came from. They told us at school a long time ago.
Yeah, well, maybe they could tell you why people smoke.
Well, they did.
What?
Said it was a habit.
Then why do you ask?
I want to know why you smoke.
Oh, well, look, I smoke because the same reason other people smoke.
You mean you're hooked?
No, I'm not hooked.
Could you quit if you wanted
to? If I wanted to, bad enough.
Well, I wish you would.
Oh, you do.
See, they also told us that people who smoke, well, they don't live as long as other people.
Oh, really?
And I got to thinking, what would happen to Mom and me if something happened to you?
All right, hold it. Now, cease. Enough. Boy, you really know how to hurt a guy, you know that?
Not me, Dad.
What's that?
It's cigarettes that really know how to hurt a guy.
This reminder from your lung association is a matter of life and breath.
Get a horse was the command Saturday near Baltimore, but it wasn't old Dobbin against the automobile. This time it was the Iron Horse. Diesel locomotives towing their modern successors, electric-powered metro liners over a 20-mile stretch of Penn Central track on which power was disrupted by a freight train derailment. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for rain tonight. Coming showery tomorrow, but increasing chance of rain again on Monday. The highs in the mid-40s and lows in the upper 30s. In downtown Seattle, 42 degrees. It's 40 at the airport. The barometer reads 30.05 and is falling. Taking a look at sports in the NBA tonight, the Seattle Supersonics defeated New Orleans 111-89. Milwaukee over Houston 93-89. Chicago down Kansas City 100-88. Buffalo 121, Atlanta 108. Detroit down to Philadelphia 89-82. And New York got past Cleveland 103-102. In college football's Hula Bowl this afternoon, it was the East 34, the West 25. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next on KIXI, where the time is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Won't you join me in the exploration of the rich resources of your own imagination? Modern science tells us we live in a world of waves. Beyond the atom, the electron, the ion, substance itself breaks down into waves. My voice is coming to you now on waves. And that, as they say, is the long and short of it. But what about thoughts? Might not they comprise wave patterns, too? Patterns that linger on after the thinkers are dead and buried. Might not that explain the empty footfall in the vacant house? The rattle of chains, now rusted and broken. And even the sound of voices long ago silenced.
They'll overtake me. They'll put me in iron. And this time, they'll hang me.
No, my dear, no. They can't harm you now. They're all gone. They're all turned to dust long ago.
They'd be after me. You'd not want to see me swinging in the wind, would you?
No, I wouldn't want to see that.
I must have a swift, able ship. In mercy's name, help me. Help me.
Our mystery drama, The Strange Voyage of the Lady D, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Mary Jane Higby and stars Paul Hecht and Augusta Dabney. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the Sinus Medicines, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take Sinoff tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F, the sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sinoff, the sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And Sinoff doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sinoff Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Madam, can I step inside? You see, I'm taking a survey. We're not selling anything, of course.
Well, if you're sure you're not selling...
Absolutely, I guarantee it. I see you have children. Do they do well in school? Now, if you'll just sign here, madam, you'll receive all 10 items for free, except for the handling charges, you understand. Pennies a day, really.
Wait just a moment, madam. Don't sign that paper. That's a contract. And believe me, nothing in this deal is for free.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau, reminding you to read this contract carefully before you sign it. Don't be taken in by the story that anything of value is free. And remember that pennies a day add up to a considerable amount. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
The curious adventure that befell the Stevens family would never have happened if Ellen had had her way. But Ellen was a realist, her husband Richard, a romantic. And when did realism ever hold the line against the subtle persuasions of romance? It all began during a visit to one of those cruise-ridden, sun-drenched islands in the Caribbean. A friendly family disagreement was in progress, an old story. It's been going on now for 6 years.
It's the one at the end of the dock, Ellen. There. Isn't she beautiful?
Mm-hmm. Very nice. But you promised me, Richard, no more boats. Well, not until Susie's at least 16 years old.
We'll never see a buy like this again. They're practically giving it away.
Well, then there's something wrong with it. It's got dry rot.
Not this ship. Come on, step aboard, Ellen.
Richard, why do you start these things? You know we're not in the market for a boat.
Oh, but this is such a jewel. Wait till you see the cabin. Plenty of headroom. A beautiful galley.
Can I go, boy? Can I want to see.
Oh, all right. But just one quick look. And be careful of your dress, Susie.
Here, let me help you, Susie. There you are. Now, just look at this after deck. She's all white oak and cedar. And she's a motor sailor. You know, a lot better than an auxiliary engine. You can run just as well under power as under sail. There are 2 50-gallon fuel tanks below deck.
Mama, look at this kitchen down here. There's even an oven.
Really? Is there an oven?
Of course. The ship is a real home. Ellen, what do you say we take a short run? I have the ignition key. The guy in the boatyard office said I could take her out.
No, Richard, I've had it with boats. And anyway, the question's academic. Even if we bought it, we couldn't get it back to the States.
We could sail it.
Are you out of your mind? It's hundreds of miles.
She has an enormous cruising range. What with the engine and sail, we just watch the weather predictions very carefully.
Well, come on, Susie. We're going to get off now. Richard, you take the keys back to the boatyard man. And I'll get the car and bring it down as far as I can. I'll pick you up at the gate.
Daddy?
Yeah?
I want to take a ride in it. Can I tomorrow, Daddy? Can I? Can I?
Huh? What, dear?
Can we go for a boat ride tomorrow?
I don't know. Depends on your mother.
Oh, I wish we could buy the boat. Don't you? Daddy? Don't you?
Don't I what?
Wish we could buy the boat.
Yeah. Well, that part's all taken care of. I already bought it. The only problem now is how to break the news to your mother. Now, Ellen, you have to admit, this is the life. Look at that sea. It's like glass.
It's too calm. I don't like the gray mistiness that's settling over everything. I won't feel good until we sight land again.
I won't be long now. We were clipping right along when we had the sails up. See, that's the advantage of a motor sailor. When the wind died, we could switch right over to power and still maintain our speed.
Except for that panicky half hour when you couldn't get the engine started.
Ah, just a little corrosion around the points. Bit of sandpaper fixed that. Here, Ellen, why don't you take over the wheel, huh? I want to go and look at the chart. Now, the first buoy we pick up is number 12. From there, we'll see a light. If we make it before nightfall, you can take over for a few minutes. Okay, Susie?
The light is missed.
You know where we are right now? We are sailing on the Spanish Main.
The Spanish Main?
That's right. These waters were infested with pirates in the old days. Blackbeard and Calico Jack.
Richard, I think there's a fog closing in. Look ahead.
Yeah. Well, just hold a steady course. We'll be sighting that buoy any minute now. Susie, go below and bring up my binoculars. There's a good girl.
The visibility's not any too good.
We can't be far from port.
Oh, Richard, I hope we're not running into one of those awful pea soupers.
Now, don't panic. Don't get Susie frightened.
Here's binoculars.
Thanks.
Can you make out anything?
Well, I don't see it yet. But we will.
Tell me more about the pirate.
Okay. Well, Calico Jack Rackham. They call him that because of the fancy clothes he wore. He sailed with Anne Bonny. They were girl pirates, too, you know.
Girl pirates?
Sure. Anne Bonny and Mary Reed. And from all accounts, they were better at it than the men.
The fog's getting awfully thick, Richard. I've never seen one roll in so fast, and the sun's gone.
I'll take over.
No, I can hold her on course. You keep looking for that buoy. We should have been in port long ago.
Well, we lost a little time trying to start the engine.
Are we lost?
Of course not.
I think we ought to start sounding our foghorn.
Not yet. Don't you want to hear what happened to Anne Bonny?
What happened to her?
Well, the pirates all went to jail. They hanged poor old Calico Jack. Mary Reed was dying of a fever, and Anne Bonny nursed her. And then, well, nobody knows just what did happen. In the morning, when the jailkeeper opened their cell, he found the body of Mary Reed. But Anne Bonny was gone. She disappeared and was never heard of.
Richard!
What?
Look! Look what you've done, oh, Richard, how could you?
Well, what? Well, what is it?
This monkey wrench, it's right behind the compass. Richard!
Who put that there?
Who? Who was working on the engine? That wrench will have pulled that compass so far out of line, heaven knows where we are now.
Sorry. I was so glad to get that motor started. Ellen, I'm sorry.
Oh, if I ever get my feet on dry land
now,
again.
Now, let's keep calm. We are not lost.
Oh, no. We're still right here in the Atlantic Ocean.
I'm sorry, Ellen.
How I ever let you talk me into this expedition.
Now, just try to keep cool.
Daddy?
All my fault.
We're probably 50 miles off course.
Daddy, there's a big can floating over there.
What? Where?
There.
The buoy. It is.
Oh, thank heaven.
I'll take the wheel. I want to go right up to it. We got to be sure of that number.
It should be 12, right?
I see it. I see the number.
What is it?
Three.
Three? No, it can't be.
A three and an eight.
Oh, no.
That's what it is.
Ellen?
Susie's right. 38.
That's impossible. Take the wheel again, Ellen. Just idle here by the buoy. There's no 38 on this chart. We're way off course. I have to go below and get the other charts.
Can you still see the buoy, Susie?
Sure. It's right here.
Well, keep your eye on it. Don't let me drift too far away. Darling?
Yeah?
You're not smoking down there, are you?
Good Lord, no. You know, I haven't smoked in 10 years.
I smell tobacco.
So do I.
What? Oh, well, let me get at the engine. Maybe there's a short in the wire.
No, it's not like that. It's tobacco. Did you hear that?
What?
It sounded like
somebody laughed.
Ahoy!
It's a ship.
Where? I don't see anything.
Ahoy! Ahoy!
They don't answer. Blow the horn.
Ahoy!
What ship are you?
The Lady D. We're off course. Can you give us our bearings?
You'd best lay over for the night. Steer north by east, a quarter east. You'll run right down the channel.
Thank you.
I still can't see anything.
North by east, a quarter east.
It was a woman.
Bring the ship around. Slowly, Ellen.
That's right.
I hope she knows what she's talking about.
And I still smell tobacco.
So do I. Was she that close? Huh. Funny. I didn't see a thing.
I didn't hear any motor.
Maybe she's sailing.
Now, Susie, how could she be? There's no wind.
And she seemed to get away so fast.
Ellen, go as slow as you can. I'm going forward and keep a sharp watch. We don't know what we're heading into.
But I've got her throttled way down.
Hey!
Oh, ow! What are we hitting?
Quick,
what
put
happened?
Her into reverse! Reverse! Oh. Quick, put her in reverse. Maybe we can back off. Now, here, let me try. That's no use.
Oh, we've gone aground.
Yes, and we're stuck fast. Oh.
One of the most beautiful yet fearful tales that travelers tell is the Lorelei, the siren who sits on a rock, combing her long golden hair and luring unwary boatmen to their doom. But a siren who smokes tobacco? We'll learn more of this unusual temptress when we return shortly with Act Two.
You're driving a car you knew you were going to buy the minute you saw it. Skyhawk. Buick Skyhawk. You just knew a car this streamlined would be easy on gas, and you were right. In published EPA mileage test results, Skyhawk got 25 miles per gallon on the open road and 16 in the city. Skyhawk. It's rakish, it's low slung, it looks European, but it's a Buick.
Living free.
In God we trust. America speaks.
In the words of Thomas Jefferson, I must believe that religion substantially good, which produces an honest life, and we've been authorized by one whom you and I equally respect to judge of the tree by its fruit.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
See if you can identify these sounds. Squeaky door? Lion growling. A motor scooter. Cow mooing? Spanish dancer. If you agreed with these guesses, you've been fooled, because each sound was made by a whale. That's right, a great big blubbery old whale just buzzing and clicking and grunting away deep down in the ocean. The National Audubon Society has joined a world effort to save these amazing animals from extinction. We need your help. To find out what you can do, write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.
There's nothing so eerie as the feel of a ship gone aground. A living, pulsing body beneath your feet goes suddenly dead. Aboard the Lady D, only Susie slept that night. Ellen and Richard kept an anxious vigil, waiting to see what the dawn would bring. Where were they? How great was the damage to their boats? On the last question hung the safety, perhaps the survival, of the ship and her crew.
Ellen, come up on deck. You've got to see this.
What, dear?
Look at that sunrise. Isn't it magnificent?
Oh, darling. You are the one man alive who could run a valuable boat aground in the middle of nowhere and greet the dawn like Shelley. Mm,
some sort of ship is sure to pass by. Meantime, this is a great adventure.
Mm-hmm. Well, the tide runs out. That'll be an adventure. This boat's going to roll over on her side.
No, she won't. She's built like a sea skiff. They used to pull them right up on the beach to unload the catch. So, give us a kiss, Cassandra.
Good morning, darling.
Well, I guess I better go ashore and see if I can find a water supply on our desert island.
Is this really a desert island?
I'm afraid so, sleepyhead. And your father's playing Robinson... Richard, look.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, here comes Friday.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. You are it.
What'd he say?
I think he said we're early.
Early for what?
What island is this?
Campbell's Island.
Campbell's Island?
Yes, mistress. I'm Campbell.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Campbell? I'm Richard Stevens. This is my wife.
Good morning, mistress.
My daughter.
Welcome.
Did you say we were early?
Yes, yes. Usually September comes before she bring a boat.
Who?
The lady who smoked the pipe.
A pipe?
Yes, a long clay pipe. You did not see her.
No.
We smelled her pipe.
Is Campbell's Island... I mean, is there a town here?
Ow! Ho, ho, ho! Campbell, the only man here.
Oh, we missed the harbor channel.
Campbell's Island. I have no harbor.
The lady said there was a channel.
Oh, yes. Sometimes she say that.
You mean she lied to us?
Maybe. You want your boat. Your boat, she nice.
Oh, well, won't you come aboard?
Thank you, sir.
Can I give you a cup of coffee?
No, thank you, mistress. Oh, your wheel.
Yeah, I like a good old-fashioned wheel to steer with.
You pay a lot for that. Oh, the compass.
Well, the ship's well equipped.
This is the ship's belt.
Brass. Must cost dear. You have a radio?
Just a receiving set. Now, Mr. Campbell, about getting off the beach.
You stuck fast, man.
Well, if you have a boat and a tow line at high tide...
No, man. My motor too small. Just a little outboard. I sail to the other island.
Well, there are other islands near?
It's ours to sail there.
Could they send out a workboat from another island?
Maybe. We have to fetch them. No wireless on Campbell's Island.
You mean go in your little sailboat?
Oh, no, mistress. You and the child must stay here. My boat is small. If I try to keep a big boat, she take it.
You mean...
The lady with the pipe.
Well, now, she has a boat. She ought to be willing to...
No, man. Mistress Bonnie have no boat. That's the trouble. She look for a boat. All the time she look.
Bonnie? Did you say Bonnie?
And Bonnie?
You know about her?
Yes, but she died 200 years ago.
That's what they say.
Do you mean that we were talking to a...
A ghost?
Of course not, Susie. There are no such things.
I talked to a ghost. I talked to
Susie,
a ghost.
Be sensible. There are no such things as a ghost.
Your boat is stuck fast on Campbell's Island. But true?
Why, yes, but...
If the ghost, she don't bring you. How you think you got here?
Mr. Campbell and Susie are certainly getting along together. Look at them striding ahead of us.
He's striding, she's trotting. What a big, powerful man he is. And his skin, like ebony.
How old do you think he is?
Well, I don't know. 40?
Well, I'm eager to see his boat.
I hate to think of your starting out all alone with him.
I have to go for help.
But why can't he go by himself?
I don't know. He doesn't seem willing to do that.
Did you notice the way he examined our boat equipment?
Yeah, like he was taking inventory.
Yeah, but what do they call those people who lure ships to their doom by putting out beacon lights?
Wreckers.
Yeah. You think he's a wrecker?
The thought crossed my mind.
Oh, but we did hear a woman's voice.
Now, look, there could be two explanations for that. Either there is a woman on this island, in spite of what Campbell says, or he's a ventriloquist. Look. Look, Ellen, look down there.
Why, it's a castle.
A ruin. A burned-out ruin.
How in the world on this desert island?
I know what that is. I've seen those burnt mansions before. This was a plantation in the slave days. When the slaves rebelled, they burned the house to the ground.
Half of it is still standing.
Yeah. And now the house and the island have found a new master.
Welcome. You like a drink before lunch?
Lunch?
Yes, yes, I give you a nice lunch. You like foie gras, caviar, potato shrimp, any kind of wine?
Nothing, thank you.
A vodka Collins will be just fine.
Vodka Collins. Soon come back.
Mama, Mr. Campbell says there's an ice-cold spring behind the house and coconuts and pineapples and...
Hey, look in the corner there. Cast bronze and enormous.
A propeller.
That's worth a lot of money.
And that wheel, it's huge.
Must have come off a schooner.
What does it say on this plate, Mama?
Duchess of the Caribbees.
This one says, Rita Chu. This one is Morning Star at SS. What's this word?
The SS Odyssey.
Oh, Richard.
Yeah. All of ships.
Don't wreckers usually... murder their victims?
Now, Ellen, we don't know that he's a wrecker.
You like my house?
Oh, it's lovely.
I have good life, man, since I learned to get along with Mistress Bonnie.
How did you come here in the first place, Mr. Campbell?
I was fisherman. Hard work, no money. One night, she take my boat. I swim to this island. I see all these rich things here on the beach. So I come back in a new boat. She put that one on the devil's thumb.
What's the devil's thumb?
Big rock. The devil, he put his thumb up at low tide. Then he pull it down at high tide. Then up at low tide. He hide it again just below the water. Along come a sailor man. Up come the thumb. Right through the bottom of the boat. The devil, I think he good friend of Mistress Bonnie.
Mr. Campbell, you say it'll take all day to get to the nearest boatyard?
In my boat. But they have work boat.
Uh-huh.
Much quicker with power. They return here with you in 2-3 hours.
Can we start tomorrow morning?
Yes, man. 5 o'clock to catch the tide. I have things to sell very dear. Better than fish. Oh, yes, yes. Better than fish.
Oh, it feels good to stretch out. Oh, I'm exhausted.
I was certainly glad to get back to our boat.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm too nervous to sleep, though. I dread the thought of our separating tomorrow. When I think of you... all by yourself on the sea with that giant of a man. I'm so frightened. Why won't he go alone to get help? That would be perfectly normal, wouldn't it? Unless there's a price on his head. Richard? Richard? Oh, Richard, are you... Richard. Dear, I'll never get to sleep.
She's an able ship.
What? Who's that?
Over the side with you, lad. And mind, walk on cat's feet.
Who's there? Tobacco.
Aye, a good seaworthy vessel.
Who's there? Who are you?
Ah, good evening, lady. I'm just admiring your ship. May I come aboard?
There's somebody with you. I heard you talking.
Aye, but they all ran at the sound of your voice. Men, a craven lot. Jack Rackham was the same. But Mary Read stood beside me. We held off the king's men till our pistols were empty, and they boarded and knocked the cutlasses out of our hands. Ah, Mary died in prison, poor soul. She was with child. Ah, but that was days ago.
Days? It was more than that.
Perhaps. I've lost count of time. Will you join me in a pipe?
No, thanks.
A fine, soothing thing to sit on a ship's deck and blow rings at the moon.
I've never seen such perfect smoke rings.
Ghosts.
Ghosts?
Aye. The ghosts of wedding rings. I should have worn. Calico Jack calls him that. A captivating man was Jack with his black, gypsy wild curls. Ah, they hanged him nonetheless. I stayed till Mary breathed her last, and then...
And then? What happened?
Not all the king's men could ever find out. But come, what will you take for your ship?
She's not for sale.
Come, I must have a ship. They'd be after me. You'd not want to see poor Annie swinging in the wind like Calico Jack, would you?
No, I wouldn't want to see that, but they can't harm you now. They're gone. All turned to dust long ago.
They'll put me in irons!
No, my dear, no.
I must have a ship. Listen, I have something worth hundreds of ships. I'll trade it now for this miserable little craft.
What is it?
Rackham and I, we sailed with Blackbeard once.
Blackbeard?
The same. Now, come close, lad. I know where Blackbeard buried his treasure.
Blackbeard's treasure?
A great treasure it was. The booty from three rich Spanish merchantmen, laden with gold and silver.
You have a map? A chart?
No need. I know where it is. Come with me, lass. We'll slip out on the next tide.
Aren't you forgetting that you drove us aground last night?
A good storm will set you afloat.
Campbell says the big storms don't come till September.
Aye, but sometimes they do. We'll see to that. So, it's a bargain. You'll sail with me?
No. No, I can't.
You'd abandon me then, betray me?
No, but I...
I must have a first ship. They'd be after me. They'll overtake me, and this time they'll hang me. In mercy's name, lass, help me.
I can't. There's a great gulf between us, Anne. You're a dream, a figment. And when I wake up, I'll still be here, but you'll be gone. I can't help you because you're nothing. You're nothing but a dream. Anne? Where are you? Come back. Come back.
There's an apparition for you. A whistling, pipe-smoking lady with a cutlass at her belt. But why did she leave so abruptly? Was she offended at being called a nothing, a figment? Well, none of us likes to hear the truth about himself, least of all a ghost. We'll follow Anne Bonny's ruthless quest for a ship when we return shortly with Act 3.
I'm Hyman Brown, producer of Radio Mystery Theater. A year ago, I asked you to lend me your ears and your imagination to enjoy the unique experience of radio mystery and suspense. Your response far exceeded my most confident hopes. Listening to a radio play demands your participation. You set the scene, you visualize the people, and thus, for me, Radio Mystery Theater then becomes a personal relationship with you. Next Monday, January 6th, we mark our first anniversary and the start of another year. To celebrate, we're bringing you a week of tales by Edgar Allan Poe, seven of his most chilling tales in modern radio adaptations. I hope you'll listen during our anniversary week, starting Monday and through all of 75, to enjoy our dramas as much as we enjoy presenting them.
Ladies and gentlemen, today our man in the street interview comes to you from Big City, USA. Excuse me, sir. What do you get high on?
I beg pardon?
You know, what do you turn on with?
Well, you're some kind of a cop. Well, it doesn't make any difference anyhow, because I don't use anything.
Then how do you get high?
Oh, I get high on a lot of things, like seeing my kids start to walk or the first dandelions in the park, you know.
Anything else?
Yeah, getting tired gives me a high. If it's a tired, you know, from something I like bowling with the guys or taking a long bike ride. But, hey, would you believe polishing my car gives me a high? And it's even legal.
In other words, then, it's you get a natural high.
Yeah, natural, that's it. Which, incidentally, doesn't mean that you're high all the time. It'd be unreasonable to expect to be high all the time, you know?
It's like getting high on life.
Sure, but you gotta remember, getting high on life could be habit forming.
This mini-interview was brought to you nationwide by the New York State Drug Abuse Control Commission.
A spectral lady bent on seizing a ship, or a laughing West Indian intent only on gathering up the spoils. Ellen doesn't know which she fears most as she watches the dawn stretch its rosy fingers across the uncharted island where the cruiser, Lady D, lies stranded in the sand.
That was a damn good breakfast, Ellen.
I had a depressing dream last night.
Oh?
Well, at least I think it was a dream.
Yeah.
Anne Bonny boarded the Lady D, and we had a long talk. And I felt sorry for her. She was frightened.
A scared ghost, huh? That's a switch.
No, well, she was terrified. Oh, darling. I hate to see you go off with that awful man in that little boat.
Oh, now, Ellen, dearest, you mustn't worry.
I wish we could stay together. The sea, it's so treacherous.
Campbell's been sailing these waters all his life.
Oh, yes. And he's lost two boats. He told us so. Besides, you're going out in a tiny boat with a criminal.
He's not. He gathers salvage. That's all we really know about him.
Good morning. She turned now. Time to go.
Toss me a line. I'll make you fast to our stern.
Gotch.
Got it.
Come up on deck, Susie. Daddy's leaving.
Goodbye, darling. Take care.
I want to go, too.
So do I, but we can't, darling.
I don't want to stay here.
Morning, Mr. Susie.
Good morning. I want to go with you, Daddy, please.
Now, there isn't room for us all. You and Mommy take care of each other.
Don't go, Daddy.
Mr. Susie, you go to my house. You can look at the books. Pretty pictures.
Now, when I get into the boat with Mr. Campbell, we're going to let you free the line and cast it off. Now, see how quickly you can do it.
Here I go. Hurry, cast us off.
We're there.
Be good now. We'll be back before you know it.
Aren't you going to start the motor?
No. The tide, she take us out. Then I put up the sail.
Oh, darling, your slicker. A quick shower might
not
come
a
up.
Chance. Look at the sky. No. No stormy weather. Not if Aunt Bonnie, she don't whistle up the wind.
What? What did you say?
No storm. Not if she don't whistle up the wind. She do that sometime. Yes, man. Ooh-wee, she do that.
It'd take you long in Campbell's house, Susie. We should be getting back to the Lady D.
It's still raining.
I thought it was one of those quick little tropical showers, but just look out there.
The water's all ruffled.
White caps.
I'm hungry. Let's go back to the Lady D.
We'll be soaked.
I'll tell you what let's do. Why don't I go back alone and get your raincoat?
No, John.
It doesn't matter if I get wet. I'm in my bathing suit.
No, Susie, no.
You always say no. Daddy will let me. He's only a little way. Please.
Well, you promise you'll come straight back?
I promise.
No loitering now.
I will.
Run around.
just disappear like that, can it? Without leaving a trace.
Of course not, darling. Mr. Wyatt here has radioed back to the boatyard. They say the authorities are sending out a helicopter. We'll hear from it soon, and when we do, we'll go right to her. This tug is faster than it looks.
Oh, wait, it's terrible.
Isn't there anything else we can do, Mr. Wyatt?
I don't know what to say to you folks. We've been around the island several times. There's no sign of a ship.
My baby. I should never have let her out of my sight. I had no idea she'd try to start the engine.
Ellen, darling, don't. We'll find her.
She was only gone from the house just about 10 minutes. I set out right after her.
I know, dearest.
And then when I got to the beach, the boat was out a little way from the shore. And Susie was standing on the deck crying. And the boat was just drifting away. It went around that point of land out there. And I ran to the other side of the island. But I never saw it again.
Oh, dearest, please, don't cry.
There was just nothing I could do until you came back in the tugboat.
I know. We'll find her.
I wish that man Campbell was here. He knows these waters. Why didn't he come back with you?
He dropped me at the public dock and took off like a shot.
The police have had him in for questioning several times. There have been too many wrecks in the last few years. But they never seem to get anything out of him. So, you ran into him too, huh?
Yeah, he told us. Hey, wait a minute. What did he call it? That rock, the Devil's Thumb.
Yes, the submerged rock.
Yeah, do you know where it is, Mr. Wyatt?
Well, there's only one I know of, a very dangerous spot, right in the path of a swift current. And sometimes it's, well, there are shoals too. Very bad place.
Oh, Richard.
Mr. Wyatt, could we?
Yes. Yes, of course. I know about where it lies. Now, we'll run down on it. Best to have a look. This is the tugboat Swallow calling Coastal Police Launch. Tug Swallow to Police Launch. Come in, please. Over.
Police launch to Swallow. I read you. Over.
That's good. I can hardly hear you, but it doesn't matter. We've located the missing cruiser, Lady D. Over.
Is the child okay? Over.
Yeah, it's a miracle. The kid was alone on board. She managed to drop a small anchor onto a submerged sandbar near the Devil's Thumb. I have the boat in tow, and we're heading back to port. Over.
Glad to hear it. Over.
Right. Over and out. Well, Susie, you're quite a sailor. But how did you know that sandbar was there? You couldn't see it.
The lady told me. The lady with the pipe.
A lady?
She's not a real lady. She's a ghost.
No, well, it's hard to explain.
We don't believe in such things, of course, but...
She went away for a while, but when I started to cry, she came back.
A ghost?
I'm sure there's some perfectly natural explanation.
She said to put out a long, long line so the anchor wouldn't drag.
Well, that was sound advice, but I don't understand.
Yeah, you see, Mr. Wyatt, I've been telling Susie these pirate stories.
And I had a very vivid dream, and she heard us talking about that. You know how impressionable children are.
Excuse me. Do you smell something burning?
Something burning?
Yeah, smells like tobacco.
Richard.
Mr. Wyatt, don't you think we better get both these boats back into harbor just as fast as we can?
Well, those were the known facts of the strange voyage of the Lady D. To this day, Susie insists she talked to a ghost. Ellen believes it was a startling example of the power of the imagination. And Richard has been reading up on the dematerialized nature of modern physics. And he wonders if somewhere in space there exists a vast psychological viewing screen picking up impressions from other times, and through which it was the fate of the Lady D to pass. I'll be back shortly. you're on the open road, rolling free and feeling great about your new Buick Century. Because in published EPA mileage test results, a V6 Buick Century got the best highway mileage of any U.S. midsize car. 24 miles per gallon and 16 in the city. Your Century's comfortable, it's nimble, it's economical, and above all, it's a Buick.
Living free.
Many families would like to visit their relatives in the upstate prisons, but they cannot afford it. So a few churches and other organizations got together to provide the buses and lodging so they may visit their relatives upstate.
The God we worship expects us to remember our neighbors and to help them. Join with others at your local church or synagogue and start treating your brothers and sisters like brothers and sisters. A public service of Religion in American Life, the Advertising Council, and this station.
Now a brief footnote to the story you've just heard. Among seafaring men, there is a belief, as ancient as the art of navigation itself, that when the wind dies down, a sailor may bring it to life again by the simple act of whistling. The mystery concerning the fate of Anne Bonny, as well as her life of piracy with Calico Jack, Mary Read, and the nefarious Blackbeard, is not legend. It is thoroughly documented historical fact. Our cast included Augusta Dabney, Paul Hecht, Corrine Orr, Margaret Barker, and Dan Ocko. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
But who are you?
The image you cast in the mirror.
That's me, isn't it?
No. That's me.
I can't believe this. I'm...
You're what? What? Drunk? You never drink. Mad? You're the sanest man in the city.
I'm seeing things. Why? What's happening to me?
That's it, Jerry. What is happening?
I've gone mad.
You will be. Soon, Jerry. Unless you fire that girl.
Why should I fire her?
You know why.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If you don't get rid of her, you're headed for ruin, disgrace, death.
How can you say that?
It's true. You know it's true. Don't you, Gerald? Deep down, way down, don't you know where it must end? How it must end?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for rain tonight, becoming showery tomorrow. Increasing chance of rain again on Monday. The highs in mid-40s and lows in the upper 30s. In downtown Seattle, currently it's 42 degrees. It's 40 at the airport. And from the Department of Highways, the latest word on the passes, Snoqualmie Pass, road bare with slush in places. Stevens Pass, snowing and blowing, chains required eastbound, and chains are recommended westbound. CBS News next on KIXI, Seattle. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. A record budget, almost half for military purposes in South Vietnam, as government troops struggle to escape from an embattled provincial capital. I'm Mike Stanley, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The National Assembly of South Vietnam has voted for a record $1,146 million budget, Almost half of that sum earmarked for military purposes. The Senate previously approved that level of spending, some 57 millions less than the amount requested by President Nguyen Van Thieu. Western economists say most of the military budget will go to pay salaries of South Vietnam's 1.1 million man army. Elements of that military establishment are reported in sporadic street-to-street fighting, trying to get out of Phuc Binh City. It was 21 hours ago that it was reported North Vietnamese and Viet Cong forces overran the last government strong point in Phuc Long province, but the Saigon command, maintaining radio contact with the province chief in his heavily fortified bunker, says the communists may hold most of the city, but haven't taken all of it. CBS News continues after this.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
Six or three or one.
Please don't give me problems. I'm catching a common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion.
Give your cold a contact. For up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms, you'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact.
I know, the tiny time pills.
Right. Both the others are things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Sneezing, drips, congestion? I'll take the contact.
Give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact. Only as directed.
South Boston High School will be reopened next Wednesday despite threats of continued violence. The school complex was closed December 11th when a student was knifed. That was the culmination of months of racial disorder triggered by court-ordered busing to effect desegregation. School Superintendent William Leary anticipates significant absenteeism when the school reopens.
In the past, when there have been expressions of doubt as to the safety factor, the student attendance rate has dropped considerably. And in those cases where the situation has remained calm, the student attendance rate has gradually rebuilt itself. So I would assume that pattern would follow in this particular instance.
Boston School Superintendent William Leary. President Ford putting in a hard day at the office to avoid the automatic vetoing of the last of some 150 bills passed by the last Congress beat the midnight deadline. Among the measures signed, a supplemental appropriation earmarking $4.5 billion for expanded unemployment and job benefits, making the 55 miles an hour highway speed limit permanent, paving the way for eventual deep water port construction to accommodate supertankers, extending the life of the Export-Import Bank, and overhauling warranty laws to provide better consumer protection. And the president announced he'll name a citizens commission to probe charges the CIA conducted illegal domestic spying. More news in a moment.
In 1975 and 76, CBS News will explore the meaning of the American Bicentennial in 9 weekend specials. CBS News correspondent Mike Wallace takes us back to 1776.
A trip from New York to Boston on the post road took about 4 days. Inns along the way were known more for their odor than their cuisine. The traveler would find himself old at 30. With luck, he might live to 40. Lifestyle 1776 will concentrate on the lives and times of the early Americans, the fabric of their way of life. We'll report on their customs, their views, their art, and their ethics. A way of life as strange to us as ours would be to them.
Lifestyle 1776 with Mike Wallace. And Exploring America with Charles Kuralt. The American Christmas with Douglas Edwards. The American Inheritance with Walter Cronkite. 4 of 9 weekend specials from CBS News, observing the bicentennial in the months ahead on the CBS radio network.
The blackbird's return to Kentucky and Tennessee is not viewed with the fondness of the swallows that return to Capistrano each year. The blackbirds cause millions of dollars in damage to agricultural areas, baby pigs die of a disease spread by the bird droppings, and children are subject to a bird-spread respiratory disorder. The director of Kentucky's Diagnostic Clinic, Dr. Wade Cadle, told CBS News the nightly roosting of the birds is anything but picturesque.
The sky becomes black. Well, not completely black, but almost black. Very dense with birds.
sometimes you can see swirls that look like small tornadoes. For some reason, the birds swirl. And then the sky gets denser and denser as the birds move closer towards their resting site for the night, that roost that they selected.
Dr. Wade Cadle, who hopes by next month approval will be received to spray the birds with a chemical that draws oil from their skins. Without the oil, they die in freezing weather. I'm Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time is 6 minutes past 11.